Need you on Monday night to help out with something called Literacy Night at her school. Glenda's the reading specialist at ArtSpace. It's a school here in Asheville, or not far from Asheville, ArtSpace School. And so the theme was Mission Impossible. And the kids were all excited about getting their spy gear on and coming. And there were all sorts of setups with different cool things, like doing messages using cryptic language. And there was treasure hunt and all sorts of cool stuff that they had to do. Well, Glenda asked me if I would be the greeter. Okay, so I was standing in the door and they were coming by. And these kids were really into this. So one kid shows up and he's got his spy gear on, he's got his binoculars, and he's got his little thing on his... I'm like, can you tell me what all that is? And he says, I can't tell you because it's top secret. This kid was really getting into that. Listen, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about Paul saying, here's the mystery. I want to tell you the mystery that God has come, and the good news of the gospel isn't just for a few select people. It's for everybody. You Gentiles included. So Paul comes to Ephesus and he shares the good news of the gospel, and many people come to faith. And several years later, when he's in jail in Rome, he writes this letter to the people in the church at Ephesus, many of whom he knows personally, but a lot of people who he doesn't know, because the Spirit has been so at work in the church at Ephesus and the surrounding community that many people have come to faith. So that he's even writing things like, well, I believe you've heard the special dispensation of grace that God has entrusted to me. I know you have, because the people that I told it to have told you. But I want to remind you of these things. So we're right now at the place, halfway through Paul's letter, and very appropriately, Paul prays a prayer for the Christians at Ephesus. Let us read the scripture. I believe we have it on the screen. If we don't have it on the screen, that's fine. I will go up there and read it from there. Rick, do we have it on the screen? We don't. That's fine. Okay. The reading of the scripture comes to us from Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or even think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Paul has this interesting habit of using this phrase, for this reason. Early on in the beginning of this letter, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith, your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks to you, remembering you in my what? In my prayers. There's this theme of prayer. At the beginning, at the very end, and at the end of the letter in Ephesians 6, he says, I want you to approach the throne of mercy and grace of God with all manner of prayers and petitions. Okay? So he's saying to the people there, you have access. And you can have this vital communication with your loving Heavenly Father. And so right in the middle of this letter, he takes a moment and he prays a prayer for the people at Ephesus. He says, for this reason. For this reason. What reason? Well, it's the reason that now we are in Christ. The reason is that we have access. See, he's explained this over and over again. We used to be on the outs. Now we're on the ends. We used to not belong, but now we do belong. We used to be lost and dead in our trespasses, but now we are found and alive in Christ. And so for this reason, I thank my Father in heaven. And he says there, I bow the knee. Any of you folks familiar with the kind of a Catholic or the Anglican tradition of genuflecting? Is that a word that you all use here? Genuflecting? Now, we don't have those things, but on Ash Wednesday, I went to an Anglican church for the imposition of ashes, and they have the little benches that you lean down on, and you genuflect. Listen, Paul says, I bow my knee. He uses the word, the Greek word, genu, which means knee. I'm literally bowing the knee in reverence to God and in thanks to Him for all that He has done, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Okay? It used to be that the people of God were only named in Abraham. Remember? But now He's drawing to their attention. Every human being is named by the name of this great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, praise God. And then he says that according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Okay? He wants Christ to be forged in their lives. He wants Christ to be living out of their inner being. Jesus lives in us. But he lives in us according to his Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples, I have to go. I can't stay with you. No, don't go. Don't go. You've been with us for 3 years. We don't want you to go. We want you to establish the kingdom right now. Jesus says, I can't. Because that's not the plan. The plan is that I'm going to go to the Father. But hey, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you my Spirit. And the Spirit will live in you. The Spirit who is with you now, but soon will be in you. And Jesus was talking, not many days hence, Pentecost was going to happen, and the Holy Spirit was going to fall on all of the disciples. And that was the day that Joel had spoken about, you know, when the Spirit wouldn't just be for a select few, but the Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh. That's us. We're the wild olive shoot, so to speak, that has been engrafted into this tree, into the vine. Jesus said it himself. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Stay in me. Stay vitally connected, okay? You know, you get lopped off, that's dead, okay? What is that thing that enables the branches to grow and the fruit to grow? It's the connectedness with the vine. And it's the Spirit's life that goes into us and enables us to be able to do those things. So he's saying that you would have that power. Dynamite. Dunamos, actually, the Greek word. Like, this is like crazy stuff. Powerful stuff. This is dynamite. Okay? And the Holy Spirit is that dynamic power at work within us that makes God real to us, as his prayer is. Basically, he's saying, my prayer is this, that you would be able to comprehend God's love. That's what this is about. That you would be able to comprehend God's love. Now, God's love has been poured out in the reality of history, in the cross. We hear the good news of the gospel, and the Spirit quickens that unto us, and it is life. Okay? But we spend our whole life accessing the power of the Holy Spirit to more and more, day by day, understand the love of God for us in Christ. And that's what I want to talk with you about today. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted. That your roots would go deep into the substrate, the soil, if you will, of God's love for you. I don't know if you knew this, but I actually studied plant and soil science in college at the University of Alberta. Now, that was already quite a few years ago. And, you know, they'd have you study the structure of roots. And some roots, they stay, you know, within the first inch of the soil. But a lot of these prairie grasses, because it's so dry, their roots go down like yards, deep, deep, deep into the soil. Okay? That's kind of what Paul is talking about here, that you would be rooted in God's love and that your roots would go deep, deep, deep. Okay? Why is that? Because there's nutrient and there is water deep, deep down there that you have to access. And listen, sometimes it feels like in this Christian journey of ours that we're going through a dry and weary land. But he promises us that we will not wilt if our roots go down deep. And then he talks about grounded. Okay? The solid foundation of God's love for you, that you would be settled on that, that you would be grounded in that. Okay? So when earthquakes come, you're solid. You know, we used to sing a song, didn't we, about the sand. The wise man built his house upon the rock. You know, the foolish one built his house on the sand. You know, the winds and the rain and all that kind of stuff. Paul is saying, I pray that your faith would be rooted and grounded in God's love for you. And then he goes on to say, and you may be strengthened to comprehend with all the saints. This word comprehension that he uses, it's taking hold of, literally, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This isn't just knowledge. Okay? There's a difference between comprehension and knowledge, right? Okay? This word here, he's like, that you would take hold of this, that you would understand this with every fiber of your being, and that it wouldn't just be you, but it would be all the saints, okay? All your brothers and sisters in the church that you're with there, and not just those ones, but all believers in all time, that you would understand the breadth. So there's four words that Paul uses here. Breadth. Okay. And length. Now there's a difference between breadth and length, right? Now if I were to say to you, what is the length of distance between New York and L.A.? You might say to me, well, you know, it's like 3,569 miles. Okay. Great. And that is a long distance, right? That is a lot of territory that's covered. But when I say to you, I've experienced this country from L.A. to New York. That's talking about breadth, okay? And all that the city of New York and L.A. represent, and everything in between, right? The mountains and the prairies and the simple small towns, everything in between. That's what Paul is saying, okay? Not this, you know, point between, you know, this distance between two points, but that you would understand the breadth and the depth of that, okay? Because he also uses depth. Now, depth, I mean, we just heard in Sunday school class today, the sister of Corrie ten Boom said, and they were in a pit, man, they were in a concentration camp, and they were facing death. And Corrie's sister said, Betsy said, don't give in to hate. There's no pit that is so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Whatever depth of place that you find yourself in, my brothers and sisters, whatever painful place that is, God's love is deeper still. So he talks about breadth and length and height, and the word that he uses there is really the heavens. Man, we see about 3,000 stars in the night sky from here on a clear night. 3,000 stars. And the nearest one is so many light years away from us. That's just the nearest one. Oh, well, if we discount the sun, right? Because the sun is definitely a star, right? But the nearest one after that is many, many light years away. And that's just in the Milky Way. And there are hundreds of billions of galaxies. I mean, this is incomprehensible stuff, okay? But this is what he's talking about, the height. These are the heavens, okay? And so, just like there's no deep place that God's love is not deeper still, there is no height that God's love is not higher yet than that. Okay? So this is His prayer that we would experience that. Now, we're just flesh and blood, right? So, you know, it's kind of hard for us to really comprehend, to wrap our minds around this. And today we're going to experience God's love for us in this table. Communion. The wine, the bread, representing Christ's sacrifice for us. His love for us. In a sense, this is gospel reenactment. Do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and you drink the wine, you remember what I did for you. I gave myself for you. This is gospel reenactment. And God meets us in Christ by His Spirit in a mysterious way, and we grow in faith through that. God has given us other things in this world for us to experience love. God has put us in families. And if everything is right in the family, then that is a good place to grow and nurture. And God has given us special responsibilities as Christian families, because family, in a sense, is a place where we experience gospel reenactment. Let me explain that. To me, the gospel summed up is, you're worse than you think you are, but God loves you more than you could ever dare imagine. Okay? So we all remember when we were kids. Sometimes we did bad things. Did that change the level of love from your mom and dad toward you? No, it didn't. Listen, how many times did one of my three kids, when they were small, wake up in the middle of the night? Maybe they were sick. Maybe they had just spit up. Am I mad at them when I go to their room? They go, "Daddy, Daddy." I'm not mad at them. My heart is filled with compassion for them. And I hate that they're sick. And so I clean up. And I clean up with compassion. Okay? And then I let Matt or Natalie or Rachel come and they get to sleep with us. Okay? Think about that. And that's true of, you know, the kids of the president and the kids of all the kings in the world. You know, that's the kind of access that we have. As a kid, we can just at 3 o'clock in the morning, we can barge into mom and dad's bedroom and say, "I got a problem. Mommy, I'm thirsty. Daddy, I'm thirsty. Can I have a glass of water?" And yeah, you know, isn't that beautiful that we love our kids in that kind of a way that they know that they can do that. And God loves us in that same kind of way. He welcomes us because in Jesus Christ we have access. Same thing of marriage. Okay? Marriage is gospel reenactment. Okay? Because I can hardly think of a place where all of my sin, all of my warts, all my unloveliness is on display than with my wife. I mean, I can try to hide a lot of stuff from you all, and I may be successful to one degree or another, but I can't hide a lot of stuff from my wife. And she sees that. Now listen, marriage is for everybody. The Bible has given that as a creation ordinance. But we as Christians have a special responsibility and special enablement from the Holy Spirit for us to demonstrate the gospel in marriage. Because here's the deal. Even though I'm actually worse than I think I am, and my wife knows that, because there's some things I don't even want to believe about myself, but she knows that are true about me. She loves me more than I can ever dare hope. That's the gospel. But we have to be rooted in the love of Jesus Christ first, because if I try to have those kind of expectations of my wife and I don't have the solid rootedness and groundedness in my faith in Jesus, then I'm putting expectations on my wife that are unbearable, and I will crush her I can't look for my fulfillment and my acceptance ultimately in my spouse. I have to find that in Jesus. Now, as Christians, God gives us this institution of marriage in which we have this opportunity to reenact the gospel every day by extending love and grace and forgiveness. I think the greatest fear of any human being is to be known and to be rejected, to experience alienation when you show your true self. That's our great fear. Jesus does not reject us. He knows us. He loves us. And He receives us. And so we experience the gospel in that reality. And then Jesus gives us gospel reenactment like communion and family and marriage and God's people in the church. Listen, we're a motley crew. We're a strange bunch. Sometimes we step on each other's toes. Sometimes we say stuff to each other that hurts. It's not nice. And the easiest thing, of course, then is to run away. But that's not the church. We are always engaged in relational repair with our families, with our spouse, with people that we work with people in church. Okay? Paul is praying that we would understand the depth and breadth and height and length of God's love for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Let us continue. And to know that love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Okay, now what he's saying here is surpasses mere human knowledge. It's beyond, folks, just knowing a bunch of theological facts. It's like this. Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd." Okay, we learned that in Sunday school. Great. Jesus is the good shepherd. Wonderful. That's a theological fact. What he's saying here is that the love that you experience would go beyond mere knowledge. It's the kind of taking hold that the psalmist writes about in Psalm 23. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. That's a statement. It's a statement of trust, and it's a statement of faith. And as we walk our Christian faith, we know it's a statement of reality, because that is our experience. God is faithful. God is with us. This is the kind of thing that Paul was praying for. That our understanding of the Christian faith would not just be a bunch of theological facts, but it would be rooted and grounded in relationship, in trust, in knowing that Jesus loves us and has loved us to the nth degree. He has given Himself for us, and that we might be filled with the fullness of God. That's the Spirit. The Spirit lives in you. The Spirit lives in me. And Paul's prayer is that we would experience the fullness of God in Christ by His Spirit in our lives. And then he says, "And now this is a benediction to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ever ask or think. According to the power that is work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ throughout all generations forever and ever." Jesus is bringing us home. That's His promise to us. Okay? We're going through this life and we're learning and we're growing, but our eyes are always on Jesus. Now, some people might say and take this scripture right here to mean that if only we have enough faith, we can pray whatever we want and we will receive it. Is that what Paul is saying here? No, absolutely not. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. See, too quickly and too often, because we are flesh, We pray for things here in the here and now. Okay? And God understands that we're dust. So we need a new car, or we're praying for someone who's sick to get well. Let's pray those prayers, okay? But let's pray them in faith and understanding the bigger picture. Okay? There are things that when we pray for, the Lord says to us, no. That's an answer too. I do believe that God answers all of our prayers. Not always the way we want them to be answered, but He answers our prayers because He hears our prayers because of Jesus. But there are times when He says no because He knows better than we know right now. And as painful as that is, we know that He is the sovereign Lord, and that He loves us, and that He cares for us, and that He is always interested in our best. Not what is just good or great, but the best for us. Do you trust the Lord that that's what He wants for you? Are you willing to give that to Him and say, Lord, I trust You? So Lord, when I pray the prayers that You ask me to pray, that I pray in a way that is faith-filled, but that is focused on You. How do we understand the love of God and the breadth and depth and height and length of God's love for us? There are many ways. I would submit to you that we consider as a practice for this week the very form that Paul himself uses. I genuflect, I bend my knee before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray these things for you, that you would have the ability to comprehend His love. That we, this week, in a special and intentional way, would pray, Lord, show us more of Yourself. And that we are very intentional about how we pray this week. Perhaps prayer isn't a big part of your life. And by the way, there's not a particular way that we have to pray. You know, you don't have to come to church and pray in church. You don't even have to close your eyes and bow your head and fold your hands. Pray always. Okay? I could be driving down the road. I can be praying. It's this communication with the Lord. And I think that as we are in communication with the Lord, that He reveals to us more of Himself. So I encourage us this week, pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let us pray. Father, You are the Lord from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. And we pray, O God, that according to the riches of Your glory, that You may grant us to be strengthened with power through Your Holy Spirit in our inner being, so that Jesus Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. That we, being rooted and grounded in this love, that we may have strength to comprehend with all other believers what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Jesus Christ that surpasses our human knowledge. And that we may be filled with all the fullness of You, our great God. And now, O God, to You who are able to do far more abundantly than all that we ever would ask or even imagine, according to the power that is at work within us by Your Spirit, to You be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let's stand and sing our hymn of dedication, Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus.